Well, if you're just joining us, we are following today's big political story, and that is, as Anthony just said, Barney Frank, the 16-term Democrat from Massachusetts. He has announced that he will not be seeking re-election next year. There's a lot to talk about. Why he's stepping down and who will run to replace him, amongst many questions, and what this means for Democrats in this state and in Washington.
And joining us now is Radio Boston's political analyst, Democrat Susan Tracy. Susan, great to have you in the studio. And Republican Jack Clancy, welcome to you as well.
Thanks for having me.
And listeners, we want to hear from you. We're going to spend the next 10 minutes or so talking about this big story. What do you make of Congressman Barney Frank's retirement? How do you assess his 30-plus years in Washington? And what does it mean that he's stepping down, and who takes his place? So, Susan, let me start with you. What's your reaction to Frank's announcement?
You know, I'm sort of mixed, I guess. You know, part of me isn't surprised. I think he had sort of thought about this at the end of his last run, held back for a variety of reasons. So I get it. As he said, he's not a kid anymore. He's 71. So, I mean, you know, life moves on. But it's a real loss for our state. Let's be clear about it. He is, in seniority. He is not just a state leader, but he's a national leader. He is a voice nationally. He has a presence. I always think that if they say that your name comes from something in your background that your family did, certainly Frank suits him to a T.
Of course,
he is nothing but Frank.
Right, and of course, prominent position on the Financial Services Committee. So that's going to be hard to place. Jack, let me come to you. What's your quick reaction to this news today?
I think redistricting drove this thought by Barney. Many people said after the election last year that he was considering it, but he decided to hang on and would go one more. So this came as a bit of a surprise to me. But the redistricting, where he lost New Bedford while still keeping Brookline, Newton, Wellesley, and so on, and added some other towns, Plainville, North Attleboro, kind of Scott Brown area, I think was going to make for a much tougher race this time. And I think that obviously he did say it and admitted it, that it had something to do with it.
I want to talk a little bit about that. First, I want to put out our number. I invited listeners to call in, neglected to give the numbers. Listeners, we want to hear from you to join this conversation about Congressman Barney Frank's intention to retire at the end of his current term. He will not be seeking re-election next year. Give us a call, 800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. Jack, you mentioned this redistricting thing. He had a pretty bruising re-election fight against Republican Sean Bealot last time around. He managed to win in the end pretty handily by 9 or 10 points, but you think he was probably concerned that it wouldn't be a cakewalk next time, and it wouldn't be, would it?
Well, I think he pointed out himself, the 325,000 new voters. One of the main things of incumbency is that you don't have to introduce yourself to people again if half of your new district is new. You lose that benefit of incumbency by at least a factor of a half. So I don't think he wanted to put up with that. There's a candidate out there already. There are a couple of others already talking. So I think it was going to be at least as tough as the last race and maybe tougher this time.
Mm. Susan, you're
well, you know, I'm sure that's a piece of the puzzle and probably the final piece in his puzzle that made the decision. But let's be clear, he represents the other half of the district and has the ability to fundraise and has a dramatic lead starting into that race. So I don't think it's the fear of loss that would stop you from running. I think it's being 71. And I think his point is well taken. Probably was only going to do one more term. Kind of hard to go around to all those new voters and say, vote for me, but I'm only going to stay one more term.
It's quite a grind. He also made a reference to the fact that he's getting tired of raising all that money, which is pretty much what the game involves. It's a year-round profession, isn't it?
Absolutely. Yeah. I feel like that is a daunting. As someone who's run for office, that is not fun.
Let's go to a call. We've got Tim on the line from Stoneham. Hi, Tim.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Happy to do it.
I just wanted to say that no matter what good or bad Barney Frank had done in his 30-plus years in Congress, I think that 16 terms is too much and that we need term limits.
So you're pleased to see him go because 16 years is too long. Okay, Tim, we appreciate it. What do we think? Here's a question for either you, Jack, or Susan. I'm not even sure the answer to this, but how long does the average member of Congress stay in? I mean, I don't think 16 years is particularly long, is it?
You know, I don't even think you can look at it.
16 terms, I meant to say.
I don't think you can even look at it that way. You have to look at all 435 members of the House and 100 members of the Senate. And there is enough diversity of turnover that there is always some new cohort coming in. There's always some group going out. And, you know, I think term limits are an easy answer, but it is nice to have the mix of new blood, some seniority, some people who have been around. As I've been in elected office, I've been in the legislature, you really need that mix. And sort of simply just setting a clock and telling everyone they're on the same one in my opinion, seems pretty short-sighted.
Well, here's a comment on Facebook from Harriet Yaffe. I'm very disappointed. Barney Frank has been an outstanding congressman. His voice will be mixed. Jack, I was trying to get at this point with Barney Frank. Does he represent sort of a dying mold of liberal, of which there are fewer and fewer in Washington, D.C.?
Well, a couple of things there. His seat in the House Financial Services Committee will be replaced with Maxine Waters,
mm-hmm.
who was likely to make Barney look like Barry Goldwater.
Maxine Waters, the Democrat from California,
yes,
right?
Yes, indeed. And so they won't lose anything there, in ideologically speaking. And there are certainly other Democrats who must feel the same way about this cultural change, because 17 Democrats are not going to run the next election, as opposed to seven Republicans, rather. So this cultural change, if that is indeed it, is driving a number of Democrats out.
Yeah. And what do you think about that, Susan? I wanted to ask you to comment on Barney Frank's point that he just made to us a few minutes ago, this change in the American political culture that he was talking about. Something to that argument?
Absolutely, there's something to it. Now, is it a lasting change, and is it sort of a natural cycle of events that happens all the time? I think there's some element of cycle. I do think what's different in this cycle is all of the areas where people get information now, from blogs to talk radio, and I do think that is more polarized. It's not as simple as a newspaper or radio and sort of your nightly news. It's different now, and I think that makes it seem so constant and so barraged that I can understand how that can beat you down.
Mm. Let's take another call. Matt is calling from Lowell. Hi, Matt, you're on the air.
I was just curious if he was also afraid of facing criticism for his role in maybe the collapse of Fannie Mae, or at least the propping up of the housing bubble.
Well, of course, that criticism has been circulating. What do you think, Jack and Susan? Jack, let me start with you. Was that a sort of fertile ground for criticism of Frank going forward?
Indeed, it must be to him. He spent the longest amount of his time in this announcement talking about it. He took us through 2003 right up to 2008 on almost by a month-by-month basis to try to explain in detail how he did not have as much to do with the Fannie-Freddie deal. But it will be part of his legacy, I think, at least for a while, unless it's possibly dispelled by someone.
Mm. What do you think, Susan?
Yeah, I think it's probably an item. I don't think that, again, I don't think that was the decision maker. All of those issues were raised during his last race, and certainly Newt Gingrich has made that a bipartisan issue now.
Well, what is his lasting legacy? Is it financial reform regulation, the big landmark Frank Dodd bill that was passed? I mean, is that something that we look at? And how is that going to be viewed at by history going forward?
Well, I think that's probably the closest thing to our memory. But I would also say, as a gay member of Congress, mm-hmm. the first openly gay, member, I think that's really groundbreaking. I think you can sort of be in today's time and feel like that's not a big deal. It was a big, big deal at the time. And, it took a lot of courage to deal with that and to be the only one and to be a lightning rod on that issue.
Folks, if you're just joining us, we're talking about Congressman Barney Frank, who announced today that he will not be seeking re-election next year in 2012. We want your calls. You can give us a call at 800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. And let's go to Helena, who's calling from Hyde Park. Hi, Helena.
Hi, good afternoon. How are you?
Very well. What's on your mind?
Joe, I just want to say that I think it's a great loss for the state, because I think Barney Frank, I think he's a very trustworthy guy. He goes out there and he does what he says he's going to do. And for all those new people who are thinking that they're going to get into politics and think their laundry list of new ideas in going into Washington is just, they're just going to get everything done like they say they're going to do when they're running. They give you a lot of things that they're going to do. Barney gets it done. If he says he's going to do it, he will do it. It's not, he already has a network. And for us to just feel like, it's okay for him to go, I think it's a big mistake, because, I mean, I understand, at some point your career has to end. But I think he's done great work for the state, and he should be honored for that. And for all those who are coming in, should look at him and look at the work that he's done. He's built a lot of relationships for the state, and so you have to have some capital going in.
Right.
The new people that are coming in, they have to start from the very bottom.
Helena, we got it. There's a strong vote in favor of Barney Frank, and a big compliment for his nearly 30 so 30-plus years serving in Congress. Jack, I want to ask you about this new district. This will now open up a race, and I want to talk a little bit about who might be running. But is this a big opportunity for Republicans to take that seat, do you think?
I think prior to today, the only other district they probably thought they had a shot at would be Tierney's. So I think this does open up a possibility. There's already a candidate, Elizabeth Childs from Brookline, who was the commissioner of mental health. She's a doctor, a small business owner, was on the school committee in Brookline, has a great website. She's trying. Obviously, Sean Bilott, who has not announced what he's going to do yet. I think he's in the middle of his wife having a baby, so he's waiting to talk. And somebody I would love to see get involved is Dan Winslow, the former legal counsel to Romney, a political activist who took a state rep's job after having a very strong legal career to get involved in politics again. So you wonder whether he might want to do that.
Mm. And what about on the Democratic side, Susan? There's speculation that Alan Kazy, who bowed out of the Senate race when Elizabeth Warren got in, after Elizabeth Warren got in, as well as Seti Warren, the mayor of Newton, he was also in the Senate race, not in it anymore. What do you think of names like that on the Democratic side?
Yeah, I think there's a group of, you know, if you look across the district and you know, probably a couple of state senators from down in the South Coast area, I got to believe Alan Kazy looks at it. One, he's going to have a financial advantage off the bat. You have to raise federal money to do this. If you're in any kind of state elected office, you can't use whatever money you might have in your account as a state legislator or state elected official. Those dollars cannot be spent on a federal race. So everyone starts from zero. So Kazy's in an interesting position from a financial perspective, which does matter. I think Seti Warren is in a tougher spot. You know, he announced for Senate. He hadn't been in office very long. He was criticized for that. Dropped out of the race, sort of reintroduced himself to Newton, said, you know, I'm going to focus here. I think if he were to now say I'm going to run for something again, it would be very damaging at home for him. That is my instinct.
Mm. Well, let's get a call from Gail, who's calling from East Boston. Hi, Gail.
Hi. I guess I'd like to say, in some ways, you're kind of remembered by your last official act. And I want to say, while I've always appreciated Barney's representation of America in Congress, I think that his legacy will be that he really let down the middle class and the little people by, you know, allowing those TARP monies to go to Wall Street and not, you know, mandating any help or for the little person.
Hmm.
So, you know,
he helped Wall Street, but not Main Street.
I'm sorry?
I said, so he helped Wall Street, but not Main Street, in your view, Gail.
Right. I mean, how many people have been really traumatized by having lost their houses? Wells Fargo tortured my cousin,
mm-hmm.
Just trying to renegotiate her loan. So how is that okay? So with all his political know-how and leadership in the financial world in Congress, I think he let a lot of people down, and... And I don't know. I think if we have term limits for the president, maybe we ought to have term limits for Congress.
All right, Gail, another vote there for term limits. Susan Tracy, do you think fair criticism that Gail's talking about certainly represents a concern out there that the last few years have represented a sort of turning one's back on Main Street? I'm not sure that you can blame Barney Frank for that.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I mean, you know, I always say in politics, you get blamed for things that were not your fault. You also get credit for things sometimes that you don't deserve. To sort of single out an individual person for the collapse of Wall Street and for trying to make the right decisions with the information before you to prevent the collapse of our economy. You know, I think it's, you know, while I understand the frustration that she expresses, I certainly would not lay that at Barney Frank's door. You know, the economic conditions that brought us to where we were certainly not his fault.
Christian is calling from Winchester. Let's try to get one more call. Hi, Christian. You're on the air.
Hi, thank you very much. I just wanted to say that I think this is a great opportunity for, well, I think he established a platform for Elizabeth Warren to really be able to be aggressive on the Wall Street issue. You know, I think it's unfortunate that what he was able to do wasn't as aggressive as some people would have liked it to have been. But I think that, you know, he's kind of passing the torch in that way.
Interesting.
And I would also really hope that Alan Kazy considers this. He's, you know, I think he was incredibly qualified to be a senator, And I hope that this goes well for him.
Well, Christian, thanks for the call. Jack, there's Christian talking about passing the torch to Elizabeth Warren. Of course, Elizabeth Warren is just one of several candidates for the Senate, and Scott Brown has still got the seat. But this notion that the liberal torch, at least the liberal legacy, is now in Elizabeth Warren's hands. What do you think?
I think that's quite valid. I think mm-hmm. it's certainly a point she'll be the person to turn to. With Barney leaving, he'll be here during her entire run for Senate. But and in fact, I think he'll probably team up with her a bit during the course of this run, and it will help give her that standard bearer liberal tag that she probably could do well with here in Massachusetts.
And Susan, finally, you know, Barney Frank was telling us just a moment ago that he wants to sort of take to the airwaves and the air war, write books, lecture, presumably figure out, I don't know if he'll end up on MSNBC or a place like that. Is he right? Can he really exert the same kind of influence or more than he could as a powerful member of Congress?
A different kind of influence. I don't know if it's the same, but yes, I think he certainly has the status and to be able to speak, some of the you know, things that bind you and bond you when you're in office, where you have to be a little bit more filtered, you know, although he didn't really go by those rules, but you do have to be more filtered when you're in elected office, will be off of him. Those shackles will be off. And I do think he's a smart presence, and I think he can do good things outside.
Well, interesting story, and folks, we're going to have more on the Barney Frank story later in the program. Susan Tracy, Democratic political analyst for Radio Boston, thanks so much for coming in.
Sure,
we appreciate
thanks.
It. And Jack Clancy, our Republican political analyst, thank you as well.
Great to be here. Thanks.
Stay with us. There's much more ahead about Barney Frank's announcement that he will not run for re-election next year. But first,
a Vermont silkscreen artist finds himself in a battle with a fast food giant. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. This is Radio Boston.